May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Words so aptly spoken, and yet so unheeded and disregarded. Do you see yourselves as living sacrifices unto God? Do you find yourselves moving forward day by day in the edification of our Lord, that others may see and believe? We live in a world where worldly gifts are mainstream, while the gifts of God are considered barriers to proper success. As Christians, we are not called to live up to the aspirations of our neighbor's materialism, but yet we do seem to move in that direction. Maybe you have seen the news recently, where a 17-year-old Chinese boy went under the knife to sell one of his kidneys on the black market so that he could purchase the latest Apple iPad and iPhone. Incredible enough by itself, but worsened by the fact that the surgery didn't go well, and now this young man may be bedridden for the rest of his life. What part of your body is worth sacrificing for the material gifts of this world? I know that most of us would never go to such extremes to satisfy their material needs, but for many, the debt-to-income ratio tells a different but similar story. What do we say to the person who frets over paying their bills yet feels entitled to overextend for an extravagant vacation because they deserve it? Is materialism simply an avenue that fills a gap left from our inadequate use of the gifts of the Spirit? Worldly gifts replacing the spiritual gifts of God. The pain of feeling like you have to keep up with worldly standards tugs on our conscience in a way that pulls us away from what God Almighty is trying to do. If we would only grasp on to the gifts God has endowed us with, our contentment would prevent our discouragement and save us from so many heartaches. We must, as Paul proclaims, renew our minds and acknowledge our membership with one another in the body of Christ. It is here in this fellowship where true satisfaction can be realized. In today's epistle, Paul exhorts us to use the gifts that we have been given by the grace of God, and herein we will find true fulfillment. We, as the body of Christ, are called to prophesy, to minister, to teach, and to exhort, to give to those in need, and to show mercy, to love one another, and to abhor evil, to be affectionate, to not be slothful in business, to be fervent and patient in prayer, to be joyful, hospitable, and a blessing to others. We are not to condescend ourselves to the low estate of worldliness, nor are we to be wise in our own conceits. To the world, these are not gifts at all, but to the wise, we who understand these things, they are the greatest gifts that can be offered. All this is so much easier to understand when Christians grasp the fact that we are already living in eternal lives. And what does that mean? It means that if we are experiencing a longing for better things, a joy that the world cannot satisfy, then we have only to turn our thoughts Christward to understand the mystery of God, that we are meant for a better place and are being prepared to once again be in communion with our God. Christ Jesus has paid the price and overcome a debt that we could not. We live in a physical world, yes. But we must embrace the life of the Spirit if we are to face the truth that will set us free in this life. And what is this truth? Simply this. Living solely for worldly aspirations will pull us down, while living within the love of God, we will be raised up to everlasting life, where the gifts of God bring rewards worldly promises could never comprehend. And that starts now. Happiness and contentment are short-lived in an iPad or an iPhone or anything else that is about me, myself, and I. So how do we live for Christ spiritually in a world that has such a strong physical pull? For this answer, I turn your attention to what Paul has to say to Timothy. This charge I commit to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic utterance which pointed to you, that inspired by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith, among them Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. First of all, then, I urge supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all men. I hope you're all in agreement with me that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings are all far superior than to be delivered over to Satan. It is, after all, our worldly inclinations and desires that prevent our conscience from truly seeking God. When we live solidly within the body of Christ and heed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will find contentment in peaceful lives within the storm that rages and telling us that we can sell our kidneys in order to increase our joy. Paul reminds us through his instructions to Timothy how important prayer is in the battle in which we are engaged, both physically and spiritually. Our happiness and joy do not come with material things, but with every inclination of a heart toward God. And it is a heart toward God that prays. When we offer a prayer of special request on behalf of someone who is doing God's work, when we pray and pray to the proper use of the gifts of God by those in authority, when we intercede for those whose dire circumstances bring us to our knees, and when we raise our hands in thanksgiving for the goodness of God to answer our prayers, we will find fulfillment not possible in any worldly enterprise. If we are to deal with the whole of reality, then we cannot rest only with the physical aspects of the world, but we must cultivate spiritual lives that bring us closer to God and thereby closer to each other, where true joy and satisfaction are possible. If you then be risen with Christ, Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Keep your kidneys, but give your prayers, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will find that the gifts God has given you will bring you the greatest joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.